before it in the old list and, either find it or be blocked. And if they're, and I'll talk about what happens if you get, when you get released from the tombstone later. Okay, but let's start there. Then what's going to happen is we're going to move element B to the, we're going to release the lock on that list, so we just end up with the tombstone, and then we're going to get, acquire the lock on the destination list, and we end is something that's it's kind of a weird thing. It's kind of specialized. We use it a fair amount in the Linux kernel just with the per CPU sorts of things, define per CPU and declare per CPU. But there's one place that is used in every parallel operating system that's ever existed, and in every parallel application that ever existed.
So locking. Skip ahead a little bit. I'm going to talk about this. There's been a fair amount of play on this in LKML. The common reader-writer lock is something that people have used pretty heavily. It's kind of nice. All the readers go on parallel, or they used to. The problem is a really small hash table. If you had a bigger hash table, the locking would not be so bad.
Reader-writer lock does get a little bit more. It's about, what, 5 pixels here on 2 CPUs. Okay? So you can get some benefit from it, but then it's over here, it's down at 4 CPUs, it's actually below the global lock. If you do something like have a, for this time, we're getting pretty close to the end of the time. And skip non-blocking synchronization. I'll talk a little bit about RCU. For RCU, the first thing you have to look at, what is RCU, is what is synchronization? The thing that is easy to forget is any kind of synchronization has a mechanism. For example, locking, you have the locking premeshed. So readers have almost no overhead. They don't, even in a config preamp kernel, it's just a local increment. But the writers do have to pay a fair amount more. And of course, the garbage collecting mechanism, it's really just quiescent state detection, incurs some overhead. At the same time, on CPU-1, once we get to this context switch right here, we know that CPU-1, other than the updater himself, can't be referencing it. And so once we've seen both context switches, we know it's safe to free it. And so what that means is that any, because your routing table is out of date compared to the real world anyway, so waiting another millisecond or so is no big deal. There are other algorithms that care, and there are ways we deal with that by putting flags in the elements to indicate that they're obsolete and that they should be therefore ignored. Okay. And so I'm going to go through towards the what's happening.
How many people think that we're going to have single processor, single processor with the friends being the way things are maybe 10 years from now? Okay, yeah, we got a few great people going for that. How about just multi-threaded? You know, we're going to have single processors, but they're going to have a lot of hardware threads. Maybe the 32 from, okay, so we got the person or two there. All right. How about just more of the same? Okay, yeah, we've got a few people with a bunch of fairly heavy-duty friends.
My guess is somewhere between the multi-threaded mania and more of the same. We'll have multi-core CPUs with multiple hardware threads. I think that there'll be a limit to the number of threads that are useful for a little bit anyway, just because
of RCU.
Of RCU?
Because the cluster is ready.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, I do. But
all right. We need to get that summary. All right.
I can spell, eh?
Who is kindly offering
you? Yeah, like that.
The other way I'll fix this. Well, to get rid of the burgers just to reduce the size of the pipeline and make them easier.
Right, so what do you mean by that?
Booted off a forward. We had a real problem getting parallel boots.
A reader ad lock would do well because you just grab it, read all the
I should do something with this, shouldn't I?
Sorry.
Just so I can plug it in. Let me undo myself here.
Okay. I play what?
So. Okay, so I bring this. I need to get
okay. So next,
Daniel Phillips with Jay Wright, Clusters for the Masses.
Okay, can we first boot the boot the microphone? Okay, it goes in my pocket.
Where are we going? Just put it in.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, good. Pin. Okay. Am I amplified now? Run DD Raid on the cluster after we actually have an idea what the heck it is, and actually what the heck this cluster is too. Peter Anvin of Orion. This is an Orion cluster. This is big news. This is going to change the world. Hopefully, DD Raid will change the world even more, and I'll try to actually make a case for that. 1 month. Ted Cho called me up and said, hey, you know, I can't promise much. VA was on kind of a tippy sea at that time. But if you want to, you can come on down. So I did. I actually didn't move from my home in Berlin. But I joined them and into the storage group along with Andrew Tridgell and Ted Second. So I was unimpressed, to say the least. And I thought I could do better in software. And so actually I thought I could even do even better by writing a paper about it and saying I could do better. And that's exactly what I did, because I never actually implemented it until last month. And the reason I came up with this is because I'm actually not that great a programmer, and it takes me a long time to code things, and I thought that this would be easy enough for me to implement. And I actually had a chance of getting it implemented as opposed to Raid 5, which I know Groggy can do it. I mean, Greg.
Did you follow what I was saying?
Yeah, I was wondering
if the lead, because it's an embarrassing question. You can say no. You did follow. Wow,
that's great. We need more ladies in this business. Okay. it's quite interesting. But the other thing that happened is it's actually kind of hard to find out how many scatter-gather control blocks an adaptec SCSI controller has. And the reason is they won't tell you. It's the numbers in between as well, without wasting any data. Okay, now I'm going to skip over this. This is more detail that we don't need to hear just now. I've written a paper. Anybody can read the paper. And we've got this cluster over here waiting to be demoed successfully, or hopefully. But it's really supposed to say three. I'm not going to change it now. This is one disk block here, one 4K disk block, and we take 1K of it, first 1K, put it here, second 1K, third 1K, fourth 1K, put the parity here. Do the same with the next disk block.
What's the difference between what that last slide and RAID 4?
The difference between this scheme and RAID 4, I named it RAID 3.5. That's one difference.
you couldn't make up your mind whether it was 3 or 4.
Yeah. The difference is that in RAID 3.5, we're actually could have if it performed as well as DD. By the way, I'm now getting measurements that are better than 5 parallel DDs, and that's largely because of improvements in 2.6. What is this one? This was my goal, modest goal of 100 megabytes a second. Last time I tested it out of my 5 disks. Now, a fact about this is that in theory, the performance should never be worse than a single drive. So when we say that random I/O is worse, that's only relatively speaking. It's only comparing it to RAID 5. And actually, in practice, it seems to do quite well against RAID 5, and there are reasons why it doesn't matter. About the fall, I thought, well, we don't actually have a cluster mirror yet, and we're supposed to be releasing all this code to the entire world, and you can't actually
do some very important things like have redundant data on your cluster or do physical volume moves because mirrors are used for that. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to take some time. So it was done. And now I had a real problem because I had this cluster mirror, which was actually supposed to be somebody else's project. They'd been working on that cluster mirror using my design all that time and almost had it finished. And I had finished it. I wasn't supposed to. And now I made it during Paul's talk. So what this means is everybody can now make a shared storage cluster like the big boys have, like the DEC guys had back when, and you couldn't afford it. I invent my own protocol. I just used CCP and I ended up getting like a microsecond, 2 microseconds per message. Good question. You're really earning that key. It hooks into the kernel by way of a socket. So I use a socket with streaming messages.